Welcome back to The Digital Dive, a conversation about tech. My name is Jacqueline, and I'm one of your hosts.
And my name is Darsh. I'm your other host. This week, we're talking about Apple's plans to start a hospital, Flip and Fold 3 from Samsung, the new Peloton wearable, and a lot more.
Roll the intro. Flip and Fold 3, obviously foldable phones are huge and there is so much hype around them. Front Page Tech just posted an article of an exclusive that Samsung has just begun mass production for the Z Fold 3 and the Z Flip 3, ordering 50,000 units a day. What do you think and what are you hoping to see with the Fold 3?
Okay, so here's the thing with the Fold 3. So one of my favorite phones in the Samsung lineup for probably the longest time has been the Galaxy Note. From what it seems like we're not going to be expecting the Galaxy Note this year. It seems like this is going to be a year where they're not premiering it or they're not introducing a new generation or iteration of the lineup to us. Rather, however, the rumors have been showing us, especially through different concepts, the Galaxy Z Fold 3 is going to kind of be the replacement in the market for their phablet S Pen stylus-based phone. This is going to be their kind of note for the next coming years. It's going to be the more of a focus. So I think that's going to be something really interesting that I kind of want to look out for, just because I am a huge fan of the Note, and the S Pen has definitely gone through a ton of improvements in the past couple of months, years. Like, they've just been doing really, really cool stuff with it. So I'd really be interested to see how they can implement that on such a huge screen, especially one that, like, again, it's not really made of glass, right? The Z Fold 2 and the Z Fold 1 were both this plastic glass combination that I thought was really interesting.
I totally agree with you regarding like the Note line. It seems like it hasn't had the same incentives for people anymore because the S line has gotten really good and really productive as well. It's pretty big. And that was one of the main factors with the Note, that it was like a phablet. Obviously the S Pen is still crucial, but I could definitely see like the Samsung Fold 3 kind of coming in and taking that spot of like the phablet with the S Pen if the screen becomes more durable and can handle an S Pen on it.
No, exactly. And that's the thing too, like even last year, Samsung decided that they wanted to introduce the new S lineup with the ability to use the S Pen, therefore taking out the uniqueness of having the S Pen with the Note. So I feel like they did that like preemptively to kind of try to introduce the S Pen to more people, and so that they could kind of make it so that if you wanted to get the Galaxy Fold, you get the Fold 3 and you get the stylus with it. But if you don't want such a huge phone or you don't want to play in that price range, you can go ahead and pick up the S lineup and then use the S Pen with it the same as you would any other Note. Because now they're making the S lineup, they have top tier models, which would be competitors, direct competitors with the Note line. So I think it's kind of interesting how they're kind of playing it here, because it seems it's very plausible for them to introduce the S Pen with the Galaxy Fold this year.
What do you think in terms of release date? Like, when do you think we'll be seeing this?
I'm not 100% sure. There is a lot of trusted sources, quote unquote, saying that we could be seeing both the Z Fold and the Z Flip sometime around August. So the estimated date is August 27th of 2021. So Friday. That's what they're talking about, but I don't know. I don't know how much I believe. I feel like there's always delays, but considering the fact that Samsung has ramped up production, I don't see it as something that's not possible. I see it as it's very likely. I don't know if the 27th is going to be a hard date, but if it's around the end of August, then I consider that a win for Mr. Flippy Boy.
I totally agree. And I think like August also is a month where they normally do a lot of stuff. So It makes sense if we see it. When I reviewed the Fold 3 or the Fold 2 this year, one of the biggest gripes that I had with it was still the price point. It will be interesting to see if there's any flexibility in that price, if they try to make it a little bit more price competitive this year, or if they're still kind of holding to the expensive price and hoping that the technology gets more and more affordable over the upcoming years. So that will be something we have to keep our eye on. I haven't really seen any rumors about the price yet, so not too much insight on that front. In terms of build and durability, I think that they'll continue to improve the hinge and make it a little bit more durable as well. Although we haven't been seeing a ton of reports of Fold 2 having like major durability issues, because most people note they have to just be a little bit more careful with it than like a normal device.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's the way it has to be though with any foldable display. Like, the thing with any device like this where there are moving parts on the exterior that can be accessed by the consumer, you're ultimately put into a position where there's a lot more, I guess, possibility, and there's a lot more room for human error. In any case, like say you had a flip phone, right? Even if it was from like 2004, for example, it still had a hinge on it. That mechanism in and of itself is a liability, because if someone breaks that, that's a huge piece that has to be fixed. It's literally the cornerstone of the phone. It's one of the things that literally keep it together. It's going to be interesting how Samsung does go about kind of fixing the hinge and reworking it a little bit, because I know the first generation had some issues with it. They literally had to recall the phone to fix it and fix the screen. I think it can only go up from here. Like, this is a third generation product now. Like, this isn't like a new lineup anymore. This is is something that like they now have shown as a true and tried practice. So I think it'll be really cool to see. But Jacqueline, what kind of stuff are you looking for from the Galaxy Z Fold this year? Like, you've used both the first and second generation, I believe. So what is something that you'd be looking for in the next generation of it?
I think the main things are just continued improvements to use cases. It's super clear for someone like me why I would want it. When I was going to the gym, like pre-pandemic, I would use it a lot on the treadmill. Mm-hmm. And I was able to unfold it and like watch something and have it be a bigger screen. If I was traveling, I'd be able to use it for my email to get a bigger display. So I think like it makes sense. Like the form factor makes sense to me. Rollable phones are also super interesting to me. And I kind of want to be sold on why foldable is better than like a rollable phone.
Yeah.
For anyone that doesn't know, rollable is like, we saw LG, obviously they're out of the game now, but like it would be a regular display and then the rest of the display would pull out and it would become bigger. That is so cool to me. And I think like it will just be a race in the next couple of years to see if foldable or rollable is like more durable, which one's easier to manufacture, which one is more durable, and which one makes more sense for the consumer. Because like my gut feeling is that rollable makes more sense because you can keep the phone thinner and you can keep the aspect ratios and stuff a little bit more normal, but maybe foldable will be more durable. So time will tell. Also, like with a rollable display, the display has to be a little bit more flexible. So there are a ton of different factors. So I'm kind of just hoping that they sell us on the foldable display and that durability is improved. I would love to see the actual inner screen be more durable, be made out of like a more of a glass-like material versus like that plastic coating, because that just feels a little bit worse in the hand than like a regular glass phone.
That's the thing too, when buying such a super premium phone, the Galaxy Z Fold, even the first and second generation, were both very expensive. To spend so much money on such a premium flagship, you want to have those premium qualities and premium characteristics in your hand at all times. I actually would love to see a rollable phone now that you mentioned that, because one of the things that got me into technology in the first place was I was watching, I think it was the Samsung Galaxy S4 launch. I was watching like the live keynote. Samsung came out with a set of, I guess, commercials for concept phones they had in mind, one of which was actually a rollable. It looked like a really thick pen, for example, like a cylinder. And then it had a screen roll out of it, like from a click of a button, the same way like a projector screen would, but it's vertical. And it had this huge screen across from it. I just thought that was really, really cool. In practice, I felt like, okay, that's dope. It's literally how you carry a tablet around now. You literally just put it in your pocket and then you press a button and boom, you have a full 10-inch tablet in front of you that you can use and play with. I think Samsung needs to be one of the first companies to come out with it. Like, it can't be anyone else just because they came out with that concept so many years ago. If someone beats them to the chase, I feel like they wouldn't want to forgive themselves on that front.
I totally agree. It's going to be really exciting to see. Obviously, time will tell. August is shaping up to be a super busy month. Obviously, like the last couple months, we have not really had any major tech releases, which has been weird. From a tech YouTuber front, we've been seeing a lot of channels like do more storytelling based videos and like Q&As and stuff like that, because there hasn't really been any major releases. So It seems like August is going to be a big release month, which is exciting. And then September is normally big. And then we literally get into like Techtober, Techcember, honestly, now with December is normally pretty busy. So shaping up to be a really crazy end of the year. On that note, before we get into the topic about Apple and hospitals and stuff, we're basically halfway through the year, Darsh. I want to see like your thoughts on like the general tech space. Like, do you feel like the last 6 months of the year, has there been anything that has come out that you're super stoked on? And is there anything that you're really hoping will come out for the next half of the year?
Honestly, I just haven't seen as much, I guess, technological innovation in the past 6 months, maybe even to the past year, as I would have loved to see. Honestly, I contribute a lot of that to the pandemic. The pandemic has put a hold on a lot of things, especially product launches, especially with the chip shortage. Now, a lot of companies having a lot of troubles coming out with new products. I am a little disappointed that a lot of things, I guess, just haven't come out this year. We didn't get to see a Note yet. We usually always see a Note by this time of year. Like, we have a pretty good idea. Like, the Note's always one of my favorite phones to check out. I haven't seen anything in the tech space that's really blown my mind yet. Apple's WWDC event, I thought was great. That was probably the only thing that kind of like struck at a chord with me. And even Google's I/O event, just because it was software. Because you can't stop software during a pandemic. Everyone's always going to be working on updates, on upgrades, new features. For me, I feel like it's been a lot more of a software-based year for me. I've been just looking at cool softwares and trying to get more accustomed to it. For example, beginning of the school year for me, Jack introduced me to Notion and I've literally fallen in love. Like, those are kind of the pieces of tech now that I've been looking at through the pandemic, just because they seem a lot more useful now, because I don't need new hardware. I need new software that's going to help me plan my day better, make me more productive, make me do A, B, and C versus a new, I don't know, smart glasses pair, which actually I found out Bose made a pair of speaker glasses. I don't know if you heard about
these. Yeah, I've seen them.
Yeah, I saw them. Best Buy had a almost Prime Day like sale on Prime Day, because Prime Day is canceled in Canada.
It got canceled in Canada?
Yeah, so pretty much because the pandemic got so bad in the past like 4 months, and like now we're clearing up again, like we're pretty clean right now. A lot of Amazon staff were complaining because they were literally being, for one, worked to the bone. Like that's no surprise there. Amazon is really, really harsh with their employees from what it seems in the warehouses. Like they're always grinding. But then on top of that, also like there've been so many outbreaks. So they were like, okay, just for the safety of our employees, like we don't want to push them that much. We're going to take a break from Prime Day for this part of the year and we'll reschedule it later.
Wow.
So Best Buy swung in and they're like, okay, forget it. Like we'll just do it ourselves. And so they did that. And I was just going through the newsletter and the different flyers. And I saw that there was one with the Bose glasses. They're on sale for like $100. And I was like, oh, that's actually pretty interesting. For $100, those are quite enticing because they're apparently speakers at the edge of the glasses. So they're sitting right below your temple and right behind your ear. So you're sitting there and they'll pretty much play music right into your ear. Low enough that no one else can really hear it, but loud enough where you're hearing it at a good rate. So that was pretty interesting, I guess.
I feel like we may have talked about that on the podcast like many months ago.
No, yeah, I think we did. I think we were looking at, I think they were like, it was coming out or it wasn't fully out yet. And now I'm actually seeing it in the real world. And I'm thinking about it, I'm like, for $100, like I feel like something like that could be kind of useful or kind of cool accessory to have.
You know, I haven't heard incredible things about them.
I don't think it would be amazing.
Yeah, I've heard that like they're a little bit on like the tinny side. Also, if your music is tied to your glasses, then it's kind of annoying if you always have to wear your glasses to get your music. So I would always want to like keep headphones with me anyways.
Mm-hmm.
I almost bought them like a couple months ago. And then I was really thinking about it and I was like, that just does not make sense. But yeah, I don't know. It's been a weird year because in the beginning of the, I mean, honestly, we've been in the pandemic now for over a year. But in like the first 6 months of the pandemic, I feel like tech really did not slow down. Like there were tons of launches and stuff like that because a lot of things were planned obviously before the pandemic. But now we've been in the pandemic for so long that a lot of the products coming out now were like worked on during the pandemic, which means that there's like, it slowed a little bit. I think that it's going to be busy towards the end of this year again. But for me, like for the second half of the year, I'm hoping that we see the Fold stuff that we just talked about, obviously a new iPhone. I'm hoping that we also see, and I don't know how likely this is, but a company come in like a OnePlus and kind of shake up the industry a little bit with like a low price, really high value phone. And maybe that will be Motorola. Maybe it will be, I don't even know. There's not really that many major manufacturers anymore that aren't already super well known, but I would love to see a manufacturer that's much less well known kind of come in and shake up this space. That would be like my one tech hope for the second half of this year.
I think that's actually a pretty cool tech hope, honestly. I think that's honestly really, really cool. Because everyone's been very much working from home and a lot of companies, including Microsoft actually, have shut down offices or have provided limited access to these offices to save on costs. They've been working really hard to kind of move people from home. I know a lot of other companies like Apple have been doing this too to kind of help on real estate and paying for rent and stuff. So I think it'd be really cool to see tech that would kind of, I guess, play into everyone's everyday lives from home. And one of the things actually that we saw this week that we wanted to talk about that I think is actually really interesting is a leak that Apple wanted to start a hospital or something like that, pretty much clinics. And it's kind of cool to see because it's like as we're all from home, like we don't actually have the opportunity now to go in to clinics because a lot of clinics are still like, no, well, at least for me here in Ontario, a lot of clinics are like, no, like if you don't need to actually come in person to see the doctor, just call us and like we'll put an appointment for you over the phone,
which is kind of great. Telehealth is like so convenient unless like you need something checked out.
Oh no, yeah, I've had like a bad knee for like 2 years and I just been so lazy to go, and then the pandemic hit and I was like, oh shoot, this is gonna be another year of me not going in, isn't it? Whereas I feel like this Apple clinic would be pretty cool because maybe like we'll do everything over FaceTime and my Apple Watch will be able to help them. But speaking of that, Jacqueline, what were your thoughts on this? Can you kind of break it down for everyone listening? Like, what is this kind of idea that's been leaked?
To set the stage, Apple wants to be part of your life in a bunch of different ways, right? Like, that's how they kind of create their ecosystem. So they're a part of your work life with laptops and the iPad, whether you're like a designer, a coder, etc. If you are in the Apple ecosystem, then the Mac is like your workstation device. They want to be part of your social life with your iPhone. You can text people, have social media, etc. They want to be part of your fitness life and your health life with the Apple Watch. And they've really been focusing on like the workout app on the Apple Watch and health tracking. Like now fall detection is something new. Fall risk is new. The ability to track your heart rate and pick up on maybe AFib, things like that. Like they've really been focusing on being in your health life. And I think the pandemic has really been a wake up call for a lot of people that they should take their health maybe more seriously. And it's also in the past decade, I think that we've seen that people want to get a personalized health experience, meaning that they want like, you should eat this type of nutrition. This is how many calories you're burning a day. This is the type of workout that works best best for you. This is like your resting heart rate. Like people want to know specifically things about them. They don't want like the general recommendations anymore. We're getting into like the personal fitness era. And I think that Apple sees that. And that's why the Apple Watch is so fitness focused and why they had like the partnership with Nike, etc. This leak that just came out was kind of showing us that Apple wanted to take it a step further and not successfully yet. And who knows if they'll actually end up doing this. But the leak was basically saying that Apple tried to make a real hospital with Apple doctors and have the Apple Watch kind of be at the forefront of that. Because the Apple Watch can get a ton of health data on you. So the plan was to use like their software, services, hardware, health sensors, etc., with an actual healthcare plan that would not only lower like traditional costs, but then also keep you healthier. There would be like actual Apple Care clinics and maybe also virtual health in tandem with like that in-person stuff. And I think it makes sense because Tim Cook said himself that he believes Apple's biggest contribution to the world is what they've done for health, which is kind of a crazy statement, but I have seen a lot of articles about an Apple Watch like saving someone's life, like detecting a heart attack or AFib or something where they wouldn't have known otherwise. So it makes sense. And honestly, like obviously Apple's a business, but I think that there are a lot of people at Apple that are really good people that actually want to make a difference in the world. And it seems like the health team specifically really cares about making a difference. Also, of course, there's a flip side of it where it's like health data is probably going to be pretty profitable. So if Apple ever wanted to partner with someone and kind of sell that data, not saying that they would, but if they wanted to, having all their health information would be huge. And then further, if your doctor is Apple, it just further locks you into the ecosystem. Like then it's even harder to kind of get out. It's not just your phone, but now like your actual healthcare provider is from Apple, you'd be less likely to switch to Android or a different competitor.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's kind of interesting too, because here's the thing with Apple, right? When they came out with the Apple Watch, I was like, okay, this is cool, but I don't know if I'd actually invest in it. I feel like it's really expensive. I don't know where its long-term kind of solutions will lie, like whether or not I'll actually find it as useful. However, now like I'm looking at an Apple Watch, I wear one whenever I work because it's nice to keep track of like how long I've been sitting, for example. Like that's a really interesting metric now that I've been working from home. Or looking at my heart rate when I'm going on walks, or naturally my watch telling me like, oh yeah, like you're on a walk, let's track this. So I think it's really cool because ultimately if you were to have an Apple doctor, for one, they have to use a slogan like an apple a day keeps the doctor away or something like that.
Yes.
Or if you want the doctor away, come to the Apple clinic for today or something. I don't know. I have to do something about like a doctor and Apple because it's just looking you right in the face. It's really interesting because if they wanted to do this, it would become like Apple Care for humans. Like that's literally what they're doing. Like
genuinely.
In this article that introduced the leak, they really referenced it as Apple Care Pro Max, which I thought is just really funny because it sounds so on brand with what Apple would do. But I do agree though, Apple has actually done a lot for this space. And quick story, when I was in middle school, I had done an animation competition with some friends. It was a science-based one. And I don't know anything about science. Like I will never front about that. I just don't care for science. I don't do much research on it. I don't learn about it very much. I'm just not a very sciencey person.
Bold statement.
It's just not me. Like I'm more math focused, I guess, if I want to look at it like that. Okay. Or I'm more like, I love like literature. I love reading.
Interesting.
For me, I like a lot of things in STEM, just not science. Anyway, I was doing a science animation competition. I was the one who was animating. It actually helped spawn my love for video creation. And so I was doing it with some friends and we won like third place, but it was like a high school and middle school competition. So we were the only ones from middle school that made it to like the top three. So they had an extra spot that was meant for high school kids, but they let us do it. It was like an internship at the University of Toronto in this like biomedical engineering department. We got to go to all these different hospitals and see all the tech that they'd implemented. And there was a lot, this was like 2012 or so. There were different pieces of tech, like a little ring on the ceiling that pretty much had a sensor that could notice if someone in their old age who needs assistance from a nurse or someone coming home, if they've fallen and they can't get up. And it'll literally speak to you and be like, hi there, have you fallen? Do you need help? Would you like me to call your emergency contact? Would you like me to call the hospital? And if there's no response in like a minute, they call 911. Apple is literally taking the same ideology and put it into their Apple Watch, which I can see as very, very useful for someone in their old age, for example, who has, let's say, Parkinson's, a neurodegenerative disease that kind of seizes up on their motor skills. If someone were to have something like that and have an Apple Watch, then the Apple Watch would be tracking some of their vitals, as well as also looking out for them if they were to fall over. It would be able to call for help if needed. I think those are really, really cool applications that Apple is kind of implementing in the health area. And I can only imagine what an Apple clinic would be like going in there. Like I imagine iMacs like everywhere, like literally the new iMac M1, like literally everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, when I think about going to the doctor, I think about sitting in a waiting room with a bunch of people that are sick, trying to like keep your space from them so you don't get the flu or like the stomach virus or something. Mm-hmm. Your doctor running late because they're constantly overbooked with people because like of the way commercialized healthcare works oftentimes. If you're on like an urgent care or something, having to re-explain to the doctor what your medical history is, like they don't have it if it's not like your traditional care physician. There are a lot of issues with the system. And I think for people that unfortunately don't have the privilege of like being able to take off from work to go to a doctor, they end up just not going because it's like a whole ordeal. So I could see Apple coming in and kind of optimizing the space. I mean, when you think about like the Apple store versus another store, it's just a much better experience. You have the Genius Bar, you have the ability to like check out yourself using your phone. You're in the store and you're talking to someone and they just bring out the product and it's a really easy transaction and you go. It's just like convenient and it makes sense. I could see them coming into the healthcare space and kind of making it a little bit better. That would be my hope at least. And I think also you can see people wanting to work, doctors wanting to work at Apple versus just a traditional hospital because it would be like higher tech and maybe they'd be able to. I could see doctors that are also interested in doing science research taking the job at Apple instead because maybe they'd be able to have a pretty big role in like the Apple Watch and the science behind that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think there's an interesting opportunity there. Again, we don't know if it's going to happen. It seems like it's stalled for now at least. But when I initially read the article, I was like, Apple creating a hospital? That's crazy. And then I thought about it and I was like, it actually makes a lot of sense because they want to become more and more part of your life. They want to continue to build the ecosystem. And they also, I think, want to make an impact in the health space and make a positive impact. And they're such a profitable company and they have so much income that they can like put on projects that maybe don't make a ton of money at first. So I could see it happening for sure.
Absolutely. I could see Apple putting like time and stuff and trying to figure it out. Like this isn't something that's just like a recent thing. It's like, it seems that Apple's been pushing to try to get into healthcare for a while. And one of the ways they've been doing it is through the Apple Watch. So now that they have some kind of foot in the door, or like they can start kind of expanding off this idea, branching out. Also, another thing, like there are so many puns and like play on words that Apple could really do if they opened up an Apple clinic. Each room would be named like a different Apple. Go into the Macintosh room, go into the Granny Smith room, like go into the Red Delicious room, like something like that. Like they can make it really, really comforting almost. Like they could really change the game with it, especially with Apple's hospitality and the way that they've been in the industry for so long. And they know how to really do customer service well, especially in healthcare. Like that is something that is lacking and could be a really cool differentiation point for Apple if they were to enter the industry. Like that.
Totally.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, that poses the question to our listeners now for everyone listening, like, would you potentially go to an Apple clinic or would you be willing to go see an Apple doctor? Like, what are your thoughts on this? Like, what Apple hospital in the long run, like, would this be something of interest to you? Would you trust a tech company for your health? I think that's probably a huge, huge thing for a lot of people. So definitely tweet at us, guys. Check out our links for everything in the show notes down below at Digital Dive Pod on Twitter and Instagram, or check out our personals and tweet us there. I think we're going to grab a quick coffee, come back from a break, and we're going to talk about a ton of other cool stuff.
Yeah, specifically actually another health thing by Peloton.
Exactly.
Which is another fitness health company. So we're going to talk about that when we get back from the break. And then Darsh is going to fill us in on this crazy collaboration between the Pope and like Fisker, a car company, which is kind of wild. And then we'll finish off the episode with some stuff we like this week. So we'll be right back.
All right, everybody, welcome back from the break. I hope you guys got something to drink, especially maybe just a normal cup of coffee for once. Like, okay, I had a normal cup of coffee now. I have one every single morning. And I kid you not, it's actually probably one of my favorite things about the morning. Like, it's not too caffeinated. It's also not too heavy. But at the same time, it's like, it's light enough where it's not going to like mess up my stomach for the day. Like, it's nice. It's like nice. And then the evening, I'll have like a couple shots of espresso, like, to get me through the rest of the day. But normal cup of coffee is nice in the morning.
I've been on the espresso train a little bit in combination with cold brew. Mm-hmm. And I got to say, espresso is pretty great. I'm a fan. I don't know if you know who Elliot Choi is, but he's like a YouTuber that just moved to New York City and he's been getting like iced lattes every morning. Mm-hmm. And he posts like a vlog like almost every other day. Now I've just been craving a nice latte. So I'm definitely going to have to try that too. And also Kyle, who listens to the podcast, sent both me and you a picture of a nice latte from Starbucks and it looked supreme.
That is true. I think he also sent us a picture of cold brew, if I'm not mistaken.
I think he did. Yeah, dude, it's so funny. Like it makes me so happy that people actually like know us for coffee and are sending us pictures of it. Like I genuinely get stoked when I get a notification and it's a picture of coffee.
No, absolutely. The one thing though that does happen sometimes when I do drink a lot of coffee is my heart rate kind of goes through the roof, which is kind of nice because my Apple Watch let me know. It's like, hey, like your heart rate's a little high right now. And I'm like, oh shoot. But anyway, Peloton, actually, I don't know if you've ever heard of Peloton. They're a fitness company.
Dude, yeah, we've talked about them.
Yeah, they're a fitness media powerhouse. So pretty much like they create these different devices and applications for iOS, iPadOS, smart TV platforms, Android. Plus they also come out with the Peloton bike, which literally in combination with these applications help you elevate your fitness. They're running you lessons and they're running with you through different training exercises to help you become a better version of yourself, which is really, really cool. And they actually are working on a heart rate monitoring armband. This is all rumors, but it's the code from the company's applications are pointing to a new wearable entering the market sometime soon. So I thought it'd be a really cool conversation, especially after our literally last conversation about health with Apple. So I guess to start off, Jacqueline, so have you ever used a Peloton bike or used any of the apps or anything like that?
You know, I have used the apps before. I don't like personally own a bike or a treadmill from them, but they also like had like a subscription product where you can like just do the workouts on your own treadmill. Mm-hmm. And then my friend has a Peloton treadmill. So I've seen it before. Obviously, I know a ton about them because they had that whole like controversial ad last year. The ad basically was guy like bought this, his wife a bike or something. Her present to him the following year was like her documenting using the bike, but she looked like super concerned in the video and people thought that it just had a weird vibe to it. And then Ryan Reynolds, his gin company, like monopolized on the opportunity and hired her for an ad to kind of play off the fact that that was a toxic relationship and she left. So I know them from that. And then also, unfortunately, they were in the news a couple weeks back for safety issues with their treadmill. Did you see that? That was kind of a crazy thing.
No, I didn't see that actually. So what happened there?
I don't know the exact details of what was wrong with the treadmill, but something was wrong with the treadmill. And unfortunately, like I think a child died from the treadmill. It seemed like maybe it was like a freak incident, but then a couple weeks later they came out saying that maybe it wasn't, I think, and then I think the treadmill is now recalled. So they were in the news a lot for that, which is not a great thing. The happier note, I know a lot of people that just use the workouts in the app and love it.
Absolutely. Like if a treadmill is causing issues, like that's a little sketchy. That's a little scary. But with regard to their applications and what Peloton has been doing in the tech space, they've honestly been creating these really, really cool and I guess as effective workouts that seem to be working for a lot of people. I personally have never used one of the Peloton applications, but I've used their competitors like Nike Fitness Plus, or I've actually used Apple Fitness Plus, like these kind of similar applications that use heart rate monitoring and a different array of fitness workout routines. So HIIT or heavy strength training, whatever they may be. I think it's really cool what they've been doing. And from the lines of code, actually, in a recent update, they found that there is a wearable that'll be coming up to kind of be a direct competitor, it seems, or not a direct competitor with their own product, but like a little bit of a tier up from their own product. So let me clear myself up here. They basically offer a simple heart rate monitor with their current applications and bikes and treadmills. Mm-hmm. So it's a heart rate monitor you just get from an accessory store and it'll track your heart rate for you. They're creating a smart device. It's going to be an armband that's supposed to help you with more than just checking your heart rate. It's supposed to also have this like different set of abilities as well. We don't know exactly what to expect, but it's supposed to kind of fall in line in between that heart rate monitor and an Apple Watch, because you can use currently an Apple Watch paired with the Peloton bike to send over your stuff through GymKit. Send over whatever information you have. That's really interesting, especially the fact that they also started acquiring multiple companies that have been specializing in wearables and digital voice assistants. So it seems like there's a lot of evidence right now pointing towards a Peloton-based smart band coming to the market sometime soon.
What's the play here, right? Because obviously the Apple Watch is super popular and it has heart rate tracking. Why do you think Peloton is getting into this space?
I feel like when you start creating a product like a Peloton bike or Peloton treadmill, you're creating this smart fitness technology. Like fitness tech has like gone a long way from where it was maybe 10 years ago, or even 20 years ago. Like I can look at my basement and I can see this like really, really old treadmill, no screen, just a couple of buttons and like a tiny little like e-paper display that tells you exactly how fast you're going.
Yeah.
And then now I go to like a more recent gym and you'll see like these TVs that pretty much have like Apple TV on it, or like an iteration of like some type of Android that would be running like YouTube and Netflix and all these different applications for you. They're literally like computers or like TVs built into bikes that are used for, I guess, optimizing your workout experience. So I can imagine Peloton, especially in an age of a lot of people trying to really get into fitness, especially from home, as everyone's been stuck here for so long. A lot of people have invested in smart fitness accessories. I feel like this is a perfect fit for Peloton because it's literally just bringing more people into their ecosystem and they can start introducing more things like a Peloton dumbbell that has a tracker in it that will track how many sets or reps you have of a certain exercise. And then it will track that in the app for you and it'll save into health kit or like whatever different health application you have on your phone. Like, I feel like there's a lot of opportunities here where if they start building out a fitness tech-based ecosystem, like we could see a lot of really cool stuff coming sometime soon.
I also think like the era of personal fitness, as we talked about earlier, is like kind of upon us, and it makes sense to kind of create your own ecosystem. So I think about this a lot. If you have a Peloton treadmill or a Peloton bike or something, if like the treadmill isn't being made right now, I'm not sure about that, but let's say that you have the Peloton bike and then you buy a Peloton heart rate tracker and it's like proprietary to the bike, then maybe the next time that you need a new bike, you'll just buy the Peloton bike because you don't feel like buying a new heart rate tracker.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it makes sense for companies to make companion products because it kind of just locks you a little bit more into the ecosystem. And I think that's what we're going to see a lot more of. Like companies that sell one thing are going to sell related products so they can kind of create an ecosystem of products around you. For example, Dive, the company I advise for, they have Hydron, which is like where you can have like all your links on one page, but then they're also creating a social media platform called Dive. It makes sense. Like those are two related products. Like if you have a Dive account, you'll probably create a Hydron because you want to have all your links in one place. And if you have a Hydron, maybe you'll check out dive and kind of like be part of that social media platform. So I think we're going to see companies create related products and even like creators create related products as well. And I think we're also going to see maybe like some collaborations that are super unexpected and surprising. For example, in the car world, we're seeing this collaboration between Fisker and the Pope. I don't know if you want to dive into that, Darsh, because I literally know nothing about cars. So this one's going to be all Darsh to maybe explain what's going on and give your thoughts on it.
Basically, in May, pretty much a vehicle designer from a company called Fisker. Now, I only know of Fisker literally because of a Childish Gambino song called 2005, pretty much references driving a car with Fisker. And he's like talking about how he turned on the car and it'll make this loud noise. And he's like, no. Like, it's electric. It doesn't make no noise. Like, that kind of stuff. I remember, I don't fully remember the line right now. And I really hate myself that I don't, because I used to know the song by heart. It's one of my favorite all-time song. Anyway, pretty much the Karma Fisker was an electric sedan that was supposed to be a sports car, and it came out a couple years ago, and it was part of this California-based startup company called Fisker. Fisker is a electric startup car company, and it's been around for some time, and they haven't had or seen the success of someone like Tesla. But what they have seen success with is sitting down with Pope Francis, some type of configuration where they'd be making a custom electric SUV that'll be the official transport for the Pope as of late 2022. It's a fully electric Fisker Ocean, which is their SUV line. It seems really cool. Like, it's a pretty bold claim for someone like Fisker, who's been kind of seen in like the lower ranks the past couple of years. They've pretty much come to the forefront of it all, even with a recent manufacturing deal with Volkswagen for a quote-unquote revolutionary solid-state battery. It seems like these kind of deals don't come very easy, and it's really cool to see a company like them kind of come out with a really cool way to do this, especially an electric way, like kind of helping move the Pope into the 21st century a lot further, like making it a very clean organization, which I think is really cool.
That's really interesting. Actually, like when Darsh did his solo episode a few weeks back, it was like a lot of car stuff, and I like felt the excitement through you because I don't really care that much about cars. Like, I'm into Tesla, and I did a review on the Evoque like 2 years ago from Range Rover, and those were really cool, but I like don't know anything about cars or who the major players are. Your insight is always super interesting, and this is like kind of, I don't know, like an unlikely collaboration. And I think unlikely collaborations are really interesting to look at. I think we're gonna be seeing a lot more of that, and maybe even a creator collaborating with a car brand. Like, how sick would it be if, like, and I'm not saying this is gonna happen, but like an MKBHD edition Tesla or something like that. Unlikely collaborations that personify the car and brands in general are gonna be a big thing this decade.
Absolutely. Now that you said MKBHD Tesla, like edition Tesla, like all I can think about is a matte black Tesla Model S plaid, red interior, black carbon fiber, and the screen would pretty much have a like theme based on it, based on matte black, carbon fiber, and red. I think that would be a really cool iteration from Tesla.
The wireless charging pad would be able to do like multiple devices at once because he has two phones. There would be like a place to mount a camera on the dashboard so he could have an easier time filming like the in-car videos. Mm-hmm. I don't know. You could see it going a lot of different places.
Oh, absolutely. Like Marquez, if you're listening to this, man, like, and you want to do that Tesla collaboration, like just remember the people who kind of introduced you to this idea, and like, I would love to check out the car.
It's the first drive.
Absolutely.
Speaking of which, I think that would be something that we would really like.
Oh, absolutely.
I think we should talk about some other stuff that is actually happening right now that we like for the end of the podcast, stuff we like this week. And I'll throw it to you for the first one. Anything in particular that you were digging this week?
Yeah, actually. So my roommate and I have this really long-standing history now where I've been in love with his music sense since I met him. He's been introducing me to a lot of new music, especially a lot more country. I just was never a huge country person. He's put me onto a lot of country music in the past year. Besides that, he's also been putting me into a lot more like, I don't want to say rock. I think it's more like alternative rock, but this, I don't even know what it classifies. It's a song called Overdose by Fix Up Boy. I don't know why it hits so hard. Like, it's so upbeat, but it sends like a really real message. Like, I thought it was just really interesting and I kind of enjoyed it, but it's also just really hype. So I think that's my first one for this week. It's Overdose by Fix Up Boy. It's a song. Go check it out.
Damn. All right. I'm definitely going to have to check that out. My first one for this week is this Instagrammer named Jack Martin. I don't know if you've seen him, Dark. He's like all over reels and stuff, but he does like comedy videos that are super short, and he has a series called like Stuff No One Says at Parties. And I just thought it was like so spot on. I'm going to send you like one of the ones because I want you to see it, but that was one of the things like this week. I'm impressed by anyone that can act out a full scene and make it feel real when they're like alone in the room and not in the environment with anyone else.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, definitely send me that. I would love to check it out.
Will do. All right. Next one for you this week is?
So my second one, I think, for this week is going to be, I don't know if I actually mentioned this, I think I did mention it last week, Published Press by Colin Samir.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, so maybe not focus on that, but it's a video that they came out with recently on their channel. It was called The Disneyfication of the Nelk Boys.
Yeah.
It's part of their podcast, The Colin and Samir Show. And I just thought it was an absolutely amazing video because it was like, I'm a pretty big, like, not Nelk fan, but like I have an admiration for what they've been doing, especially as of late. Like, they're kind of like Barstool Sports in a sense, but like a lot more vulgar and like a lot more focused around drinking and partying. And they kind of feed into this like college frat boy crowd of partying, drinking, like doing all this like whack stuff. But from the other side of it that I thought was really cool is they've been building out an empire that with a following of someone like Disney, they have a cult-like following, like so much so to the point where they created an alcohol brand called Happy Dad, and they went about pretty much introducing it to the world. And within the first day that it was available in California, it was sold out by 9:30 a.m. That is absurd.
It's crazy. How?
It doesn't matter what kind of creator. It just, it's huge.
Dude, what do you think? Like, I don't know a lot about them. This is actually my first time like watching anything of theirs. Like I watched the video of making the Happy Dad seltzer. Mm-hmm. I guess I'm not really their key demographic, but how many people is it? Is it like two main people that are the Nelk Boys, or how many people?
So one of the things why like I find the Nelk Boys really interesting to kind of keep track of is the main guy, Kyle, is from my hometown. He actually, like, from my understanding, like he didn't live that far off from me. I actually went back watching, it used to be three people or two people. It used to be this guy named Kyle Foregard and Jesse. They just call him MTV Jesse.
Okay.
So these two pretty much started out when everyone else, when all their other friends went to college, these two decided they wanted to start a YouTube channel, started doing pranks all across Ontario, like in the GTA, Greater Toronto area.
Okay.
And then they started visiting universities and creating this cult-like following about partying. Eventually started going to the States more, started seeing more people. And then they added another guy, this dude they found on Instagram, Steve Will Do It, who's pretty much like a binge drinker. He would be posting these like insane videos of him drinking literally anything, like just chugging like super, super fast. And so they pretty much got together between the three of them and started building out this company. And now they have these three guys as like the main people. Jesse is no longer associated with like the pranks and stuff. He has his own show called Shithole. It's literally all the business side behind Nelk, which I find really interesting. I've been watching a ton of that. Yeah, I really employ it. Just go check out the Disneyfication of the Nelk Boys on Colin Samir's channels. Like I thought it was an absolutely really well-rounded conversation about them, and I was really, really intrigued by it. So definitely go check it out.
Interesting. All right. Well, my last one for this week is Iced Coffee Hour with Graham, Stefan, and Jack. I've been really getting into Graham's content lately, and Iced Coffee Hour is like a podcast on YouTube. It's hosted by him and his kind of assistant, but editor and also like business partner, Jack, who I've been on and off in contact with over Instagram, just like about YouTube and stuff, and he's awesome. So I've been loving that podcast. Highly recommend it. I think that's where we have to end it this week. We're coming up to that time. I just want to thank everyone for listening to this episode. It's Monday, June 28th when you're listening to this, if you're listening to it on the day of launch, which means that tomorrow I'm coming out with a brand new product and you should totally stay tuned and check it out. We'll be doing a live stream to launch it. Thank you all for listening. Thank you to Luke for the incredible editing, and thank you to Adil Constantine for our awesome intro and outro music.
And thank you to everyone once again for listening. Really appreciate all the support, everyone. Like, we've been getting tweets galore about how much you guys really enjoy the podcast, so it's always great to hear that and see that. So definitely make sure to check us out on Twitter, guys, if you haven't already, at Digital Dipod. Check out our Instagram, check out our YouTube for previous clips and videos. There's a ton of stuff, guys, that we've been working on. Really excited to share it with you. Really excited to move forward over the next coming months. But yeah, thank you guys so much for listening. And I think we'll catch you guys next week.